Ephesians chapter 5, lesson 62 in the book of Ephesians. And as we looked at verse 1 and 2, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also walked, hath loved us, and have given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Now, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. You know, you ever heard of the term agape love? And that's godly love. And you probably heard it so much in your life that you just like, it's just a common word. But that's a love that we found out through Romans and other studies that we've done. That's a mental attitude love. You really got to think about the love that God sent his son down for us. And in other words, you are to walk not from emotions, but from truth. Now, how many of us has really got mixed up in emotions and made some decisions based on emotions? That probably every one of us had. You know, and you know, we look at our children, and many of us have done this when we was growing up. They fall in love. Dad, I love this guy. Dad, do you really love this guy, or is it just that emotion that he touched your hand? Shame on him. But anyway, you know, that type of thing. It's an emotional thing that we make. It's not that. You know, in the passages about agape love is Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And we also look at 1 Corinthians 13 as a love chapter, don't we? That type of thing. But that is that mental attitude towards love and the ability to value and esteem the things that God does. Now, if we're part of God and we follow him as dear children through Apostle Paul, we should understand how God loved us, shouldn't we? And this is tough, guys, because as we're looking through these chapters about not only is it individually affecting us, but it's affecting us corporately. How do we walk corporately in a love that's set for us? Now, you walk in value and esteem that God has. That's where we're at. And notice the measure of it. As Christ also have loved us and have given himself for us. Would you agree that's a good definition of love? Mm-hmm. That he, what did he say? Have also loved us and have given himself for us. That's really good love, guys. Yeah. And he loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for what? Sweet-smelling Savior. You know, I came in last week. This week I got surprised. Sherry pulled one on me for the first time in 25 years, 26 years. You know, I walked in the house, and I said, something's burning. That wasn't a sweet-smelling Savior. And she pops out of the couch, and she says, oh, hello, what a surprise, or something like that. She had made some Korean beef type of thing, but I thought something burned because I was expecting Erica to be there. You know, as far as I didn't expect my wife, you know, but I know that might be ugly. But I'm just saying the sweet smelling savor that came from that Korean beef, what did I say it was? Was unexpected. Thank you. I know many of you are like, oh my gosh, what? No, I'm not downing anybody's cooking, okay? I did eat it, didn't I? Okay, I did eat it. But anyway, love is not a lifeless thing. It's not merely sentimental. You know, we love each other because Christ loved us. You know, the things that we talked about last week that brother was going through, I mean, the love that he showed towards the dentist was not agape love. But anyway, hey, you got to survive the week. You know, that type of thing. But I'm just showing you some examples that of love, emotionals. It can be bad love or good love. But let me slow down a little bit. Love is giving. It's not getting. And this is pretty big when you're giving something and not expecting anything of it. How many of us has given gifts to people and in our mind we're like, I hope he don't go out there and buy this? Or you give it something to your kids and say, now don't you go out and do this with it. Hmm. Well, that's not giving it in love. Condition. You know, that's a condition. That's what the law does. You imagine that Christ Jesus come to this earth and died and buried, rose again, and he put a stipulation on it, say, okay, I give you this love, but you have to do this. That's pretty sad, isn't it? That's what the law does. Law demands a performance type of thing. But the example in the Bible, the love that God describes, is not me getting something, but is giving. And is Christ giving himself for us? And Paul says five times in his word, he loved us and gave himself for us. And Christ gave himself for us. If you want to write this down, if you will, Ephesians 5:2. That's what we just read. Ephesians 2:5. Galatians 1:4. Galatians 2:20. And Titus chapter 2, verse 14. 1 John, be turning to 1 John chapter 3. There's a tremendous passage of describing love, and I know what you're thinking right now. Oh, man, he's taking us in ages to come book. That don't apply to us, that type of thing. But think about these things for a second. People say 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter of the Bible. It is not really about love in chapter 13. It's about the passing and a temporary nature of sign gifts. And that is quite a different topic if you think about it. And it's right in the middle of chapter 12 and chapter 14. And those are some things. Would you agree? Let me ask you this. When Paul wrote Corinthians, did he have the full knowledge of what God was doing on the in the dispensation of grace? Okay, so he was working through some things in his own life, but God was dealing with him. You think about the Corinthian church, they spoke in tongues, they baptized, you know, they had sign gifts. Was they a Gentile church? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, who had the sign gifts and all that stuff before Paul was raised up?
Israel.
They're a sign nation. Jews require a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. Thank you. But you think that all of a sudden this is changing and a bunch of Gentiles has the same gifts as the Jewish does, that would mix somebody up. You know, but and that's why Paul writes the book of Corinthians as a reproof. Their behavior was not who they were supposed to be. Let's move on. But if there's a love chapter in the Bible, like there is a faith chapter in the Bible, you know what we call a faith chapter? Anybody know? Hebrews, yeah, Hebrews 11. It would be 1 John chapter 4. But look at John chapter 3, verse 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now, once again, who did John write to? 1 John. Okay, it's a little flock. Okay, and it's going to take place over here in ages to come. I might have got ahead of myself, but look. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil and his brother righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abide in death. Whatsoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer have eternal life abiding in him. Hereby we perceive we love of God. Because he laid his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for what? Well, that's not a bad thing, is it? If you think about it. I was talking with a young lad not too long ago, and he brought this passage up. If you hate your brother, if you don't forgive your brother, if you don't, you know, you can't be saved. I'm like, what? And you can't get to heaven because you have hate in your heart and all that stuff. What is it to love your brother? In this passage we just read. You lay down your life for him. You sacrifice something for his benefit. With me? You're going to lay down your life because you love that brother. Verses 17 and 18 says, But whoso hate this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You see that? My little children, Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Do you know where that verse 17 fits doctrinally? Come on now. Think about it. Where is this taking place at? You remember back in Matthew 25, verse 40 that we read? I'll read it to you. Insomuch that you have done this to the least of these, my brethren. Now, what do we understand about the book of Matthew? When we study the book of Matthew, it's a book portraying who? God as, Jesus as king. Now, to be a king, you got to have a kingdom. Now, was there a kingdom on earth when the Lord Jesus Christ came as earth? No. We know that. And sometimes we're just like, you know, how could it be? He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's universities and everything like that says kingdom first. Well, they're putting kingdom first in an idea. You got, in order to have a king, you got to have a kingdom. So, is the Lord Jesus Christ King of Kings and Lord of Lords? That's a big question. Is he?
Yes, he is.
Or is he going to be?
He's going to be. He is and going to be.
He is and he's going to be. Good, because when he came, he was a prophet. When he walked this earth, what did they ask? When they said, who do they say I am? You know? Yeah, prophet. Jeremy. And all, he's like, you know, that he came back. He's. What is he right now as an intercessor? What do you call somebody that's intercessing between you? He's a priest. Okay? He's a high priest. Now, when he comes down here and sits on the throne of David, what's he going to be? And then when it's all said and done, we know he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords of the whole creation. But inasmuch, you remember what they did when he mentioned about that? Laying down his life, Matthew. In James chapter 2, you there? James chapter 2. Once again, what do you know about the book of James? I'm laying this groundwork for you so you know that there's some love going on. It doesn't matter what dispensation you're in. It has to do with the love of God, what he gave to us. And now these guys are going to act on this. It's not just by word. Okay? James 2:18 says, yea, a man saith, thou hast faith. And does the same thing that verse says. Okay? He says, that isn't what? That isn't faith. Look, when you hang out there in James chapter 2, verse 14, and James 2, verse 24, people hangs out there. What's James 2, 14 say? What doeth it profit, my brethren, that a man saith he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? So we got a lot of people out there will base their doctrine on this thing. So see, if you don't have the faith, okay, if I don't see works in that faith, and well, is it faith plus works or faith without works? You know, and you're going back and forth because Romans chapter 4, that Paul says it's faith without works, don't he? James says you got to have works to show your faith. So if you hang out there in those verses, but you should get verses 11 through 13, which says, for he that saith, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if they commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that should be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that he showeth no mercy, and mercy rejoice against judgment. And then verses 15 and 16, you get the context of what's going on there. It is a tribulation passage. You got to remember this, guys. When we rightly divide a word of truth, you got to understand that all the Bible's for us, but not all of it's to us. And when we understand what God is doing for us, we can rejoice a lot of things throughout the whole Bible, can't we? But when it applies to you, if I take that book and apply it to me today, that's error. You know, is it okay to take care of your brother?
Yeah.
You know, sisters?
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you try to take this out of context and apply it today, James is written to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Now, which tribe are you?
We're none tribe.
You're the members of the body of Christ. You're not part of a tribe. So those books, Hebrews through Revelation, is going to apply to them just like Romans through Philemon applies to us. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's applied to them. And Genesis through Malachi applies to them. You know, many of you know what I'm talking about here. But look. And he says, if you love your brother, you will lay down your life. There's a lot of folks out there who will have to lay down their life to feed those people. How are you doing with that? Not too good. You know, you see people standing on the corners all the time, feed me, I need food. Did you lay down your life for them? Some of us look at them, hey, if you don't eat, you don't work, you don't eat. You know, some of them can't work. But I'm just giving you a little illustration here. They will lose their head for it over here in that tribulation period. They'll get their heads cut off for feeding the little flock. You with me? They'll get their hands cut off for helping somebody. Now, we can turn on the tube, and you see Christians getting their heads cut off all the time. You know, and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, I wouldn't want to be. I'm glad I'm in America. You know, you're living in the greatest times of your life, whether you realize it or not, because you're not being forced to walk out here and deny who you are in Christ Jesus. You know, they're over doing what they feel that's right, you know, and they're being persecuted. We got friends and family that does get persecuted all times, if you think about it. They will lose their heads. And he says, if you love God and you won't sacrifice for your brother, the love of God doesn't abide in you. That's what it's saying in James that we just read. So, uh-oh, what are you giving up? You must not love God. See how this can work really against you and in your spirit and soul and say, there's something wrong with me. I'm not sacrificing this. I'm not taking care of my brothers the way I'm supposed to take care of. You don't love God if you don't do this. You know, many of you have probably been under churches that point their fingers at you for doing this. Say, hey, you don't love your neighbor right now if you don't do this, this, this. Using that katira, when was the last time you ever sacrificed something? I could say I sacrificed my weekend by staying 100 miles away from my little home. That ain't sacrificing, guys. I love my wife. That's why I was out there sitting by the pool this weekend. I was really sacrificing something. You know, that ain't nothing. Look, when was the last time you ever gave up something? And this is going to hit home to me too, guys. So when the one thing about sometimes you're preaching and you get close, it feels like I'm meddling. That preacher's meddling again. Get out of my business. I'm not saying that, okay? I'm just talking about corporately. Like, what? When was the last time it ever cost you something to benefit others? Now, I'm not talking about giving up at our last half hour of the Cleveland game Saturday night. You know. Oh, you want me to take out the trash now? You know, I'm not talking about that. I think you know what I'm saying here. Think about the last time it ever cost you something to benefit somebody else, or when was the last time you ever sacrificed something, really sacrificed something. You know, think about that for a second. I don't mean you gave up something that you could have spent on something, right? You know, I'm not going to go eat sushi today so I can, you know, help out Sherry put gas in her tank. I'm not, it's nothing like that. This is really serious here.
Doing without so somebody else can have
something. When was the last time it really cost you? When did you, last time you ever loved somebody that much? Now, I know many of us got children and they're going through some changes of life. And they're doing, and we've been over backwards to help them. And we say, look what I'm sacrificing you. What do you, you know, what do you see me doing? You know, and you're like, that's not what I'm talking about. When's the last time you ever sacrificed and gave something up to the Lord? Not your spouse, not your children, not your grandchildren. When's the last time you sacrificed and gave something up to the Lord? This almost sounds like a tithing message. It's not that, believe me, okay? I'm just talking about some things. You know, that's, like I said, it's hitting home with me too. And you know we don't practice tithing here, don't you? You know, it's an offering. But look, last time, that may be, when the last time you sacrificed something to the Lord might have been the last time you demonstrated the love from the Lord. Let's put it that way. That's tough. When you demonstrate that love yourself every day and you demonstrate how much love, let me ask you this. Let me back this up a minute. When you don't sacrifice to the Lord, that don't demonstrate love back to God. You with me on that? But you do love something. You love your body. You love the flesh. You love the sin that you're in. You give up something to God, you can have things for yourself. And you give up things that you can do for God to do something for yourself. You with me? And that's why you do it. You hear what I just said? Maybe not. Look what I'm doing to God to get something back from God. That's not a good motivation, is it? You know what I mean? If I give up something to God, it might benefit Rhonda. Now that's something. With me? That's something. How much did you ever give up for God? You got up this morning. You got dressed. You drove here. You sit and listen to me whine and carry on and beat you with the whip or put you under law. And then you go home. You gave up something, did you? That's been silly. It's been really silly. You go back in your life and you figure out when the last time it cost you something for God, and that's the last time you ever demonstrate your love to Him. You know, and it's not what you say with your mouth either. You with me? It's not that way. And it's hard. It's very, very hard. You know, we give up, our love towards one another and relationships and stuff like that. But, you know, that's benefiting you and I. And love is tough. You agree? Mm-hmm. And people sing, we started singing this morning. Oh, how I love Jesus. You know, and they sing it in melody and they talk about how they love Jesus. And they're just, you know, I hate to say it, a lot of them just lying through their teeth. They don't love Jesus the way God demonstrated His love towards us. You know, if I don't show love towards people sometimes in sit bad situations when it's really got to crank down, like, oh man, you know, it's not about me, it's not about me, it's not what I'm going to gain, it's not what I'm going to gain. How can I benefit this guy or gal? And you think about if you just think about yourself and don't think about somebody else, or me, or your preacher, whom that's preaching to, when was the last time, I've done said this two or three times, that cost you something to do something for God? Many of us are probably thinking, when was the last time? And what we're talking about might be kind of nutty, you know, in a way. But think about what those five times that Paul mentioned about, you know, giving his life, Christ gave his life. And you had to be disciplined about some things. And, you know, you might give something up for the Lord today and you might be going along for 6 months down the road and then it's about you again. You know, I just want you to think about our church, the local church, the body of Christ. You know, what do we give up here to benefit somebody else that may not have this word that we're preaching to? You know, we don't have a door ministry, do we? You know, we got an internet ministry. Believe it or not, people comes and visits it. You know, you have a ministry that is far better than anything we can do, because you talk to people and all. But suddenly it gets kind of tough when you think about this. He says, walk in love. And here's an example. Christ, he loved us and gave himself for us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. As an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He loved us and gave himself. So, when you give up, let me ask this. How do you forgive? How are you supposed to forgive people?
Keeping in mind that you were forgiven by Jesus Christ.
Okay, this is giving up something, okay? How do you, what did Ephesians chapter 4:32 say? Even as what? God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven. How much am I supposed to love? You know, that's hard to look at an enemy. And I got verses that say, you know, I'll mark you and avoid you. You know, I'm not going to ooh and ah all over you. I can mark you and avoid you. That's showing love. I'm not sitting there writing things about somebody or throwing rocks at their houses, am I? I just mark you and avoid you, especially when it comes to this doctrine. You're supposed to love just like Jesus did, just like the Lord did. Just give yourself to God. You know, like, how am I going to do? You get into doctrine, don't you? You get in the Word of God. And suddenly Bible teachings, what we're just talking about, and I mentioned this before, sounds like I'm meddling a little bit, don't I? You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, come on now, get off my back. No, I told you I need this too. You know, every time we teach and preach here, it affects us, don't it? Personally, and it needs to. But there is an issue and there's a motivation, and that's the basis of what we're doing here. What's motivating us as a local church to come here and give something back to God? What's motivating you?
The love of Christ.
The love of Christ, for one, but also what? The fellowship. You know, once again, I love seeing you guys. And when I don't see you, I'm scratching my head. You know, I can think, did I say something wrong? You know, what did I do wrong this time? That's human nature, isn't it? But that's why when you preach and teach, you preach the Word of God and you let that get down in your soul and make a distinction with that. Do you know what to do in the body of Christ? These are some questions. You are to demonstrate yourself with that type of love. He gave himself to us. And that's the ideal, that he gave himself up. He surrendered himself willingly for us. And you remember the verse in John 10, verse 17, 18? No man takes my life. I lay it down and I take it up. Romans 4:25 says, who had delivered freely handed himself over for our offenses. And that's giving something up. And not expecting anything out of it. Romans 8:32 says God freely delivered him up for us all. And if he did that, which he did, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? There's some good doctrinal passages in here about how we can deal with each other and all. But Christ willingly gave, he surrendered himself to the will of the Father. And he gave himself as a what? Yeah, sacrifice, an offering, a sweet. He gave himself back to the Father as an offering.
For a bunch of sinners.
You know, the offering is something that he was willing to bring. Not that he was forced to bring. Can you imagine me standing up here every week telling you, where's those pickled beets at, Leon? Where's that can of corn at, Maggie? You know what I'm talking about? Why ain't you bringing that stuff in the storehouse? And besides that, where's your check at? Where's your money at? You know how sad that would be? Y'all been there, hadn't you? You've been there. But anyway, I'm not saying that to be ugly. I'm just saying that's not the motivation for us to give, is it?
No.
You should give freely because Christ gave freely to you. And bring it willingly. And you do the dedication of his life to will the work of the Father. Christ was willing to give himself. I don't know anybody else that I ever read about, ever watched a movie about, ever seen in my life would be willing to give their life back to the one who gave them life.
Now,
not only for your enemy, but for the ones you love. Now, I know some of you mothers, you'd be willing to lay down your life for your children. You know, I watched some of you, and you bend over backwards to take care of your children and stuff like that. And I'm like, wow, you know, they're showing more love than I ever show. You know, they're showing more grace than I ever show. I'll say, here's a pick handle and a shovel. Go out here and work. You know, I'm the law guy when it comes to stuff like that. When they communicate to you the deaths of what Paul is talking about here, I mean, how about how much Christ esteems the value, you have to point out that he freely surrendered his life. I'm thinking, man, you know, what have I gave up? Hour and a half, 2 hours worth of studying this week? You know? That's not much. You know, when you study, you're giving something back to God, are you not? Many of you do. Praise God. But he freely offered himself, and he is offering himself to God for us. His sacrifice for us was not to please us, but to who? Please the
Father.
He didn't do it to please us. And you think about that. God the Father chose us. He fixed us, his love on you and I, and he desires you. How did he choose us? Before the foundations of the world, before the world began, God had this body of Christ in mind before the prophecy program. So he didn't choose you and I individually to be in that. That's what Calvinism preaches. That you was chosen and you are not. But that's not true. He chose the body, which his son was going to be in head. Now, how do you get placed in that body?
Faith in the blood.
Okay.
The burial and resurrection.
You trust that what his son did at Calvary, and he places you in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And Christ willingly, freely surrendered himself to the will of God. He offers himself up to God as a sweet-smelling Savior. And God takes it in and completely satisfies him. Man, isn't that something? You know, I'll start crying here in a minute, but maybe I'll move on. I was thinking about Jean sharing something about her dad, how she loved her dad no matter what. And she went to a place where he told her not to, a skating rink. You know, back in the day, just like today, that can be an evil place. And she was sharing about the fight, the guy she went with, the fight broke out, and he ended up going with his buddies and continued to fight, and she had to go home by herself. And her mom was saying, don't you tell your dad, don't you? And she wasn't going to lie to her dad, you know. So she was willing to not lose that, what do you call it?
Trust.
Because why? She loved her dad, she's going to tell the truth. And after that, rest of his life, they had
a bond
that was never broken. That's the type of bond, if you think about the love of God, gave his son. Now he gives it to us, and it's completely satisfied. When you trust Christ died for your sins and bear rose again, and you trust that and that alone, that completely satisfies the son. How much more can you give? You know, so it benefits for us. When that's happened. I'm going to share one more verse with you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 and 7 says, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou willest not, but the body hath been thou prepared me, and burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin that has no pleasure, has had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come to do the will of God." He come when he came in this world, what did he come to do? We talk about this all the time. What's that?
To do the will of the Father.
He was born in this world to go to Calvary, guys, and go out there and be the sacrifice. And God doesn't have pleasure in what man brings him. Just remember that. Remember what Cain brought. Remember what Abel brought. Remember what Abraham brought? Abraham brought his son. You know that? Father, once again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the things you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.